Welcome to A Course in Miracles. I was on the freeway 10 minutes ago.
Decompressing?
Wow. Yeah. Are you talking about 17?
Yeah. So I have landed. Okay. We're going through the characteristics of the teachers of God. It's a personal section where Jesus kind of... Hey, Ross, Jesus kind of weighs in and talks to you as an accomplished Course in Miracles student, where he kind of shares his notes with you about the awakening mind. What awakening mind? The mind that was solely devoted to a separate existence, starting to become aware of a non-separate or at least a beyond-the-body existence. This is your spiritual path. This is your spiritual awakening. And so this next paragraph is comforting and assuring. We're talking about the development of trust. And so along the way, for you to make this passage from self-reliance to whole reliance, from ego spirit to Holy Spirit, this trust thing is required. It's a matter of open-mindedness. For sure. It's a matter of faith, for sure. And also, it's a matter of you allowing as a truth in your core. Joy. That's a little hard to do, when you're focused on a body that can be painful, a body that can be disappointed, a body that can get sick and die. That's hard. It's hard to be really joyful when right around the corner, life could bring you a disappointment. But that's why we say it's a spiritual journey, a spiritual awakening, and not a self-help seminar where you learn how to manage the world better. You know, there is this distinction between your two selves. Has to be made. Has to happen. It has to happen because the self that's not real is in the foreground. The self that is where your destination, that is true, is beyond what's in the foreground. It's invisible. So we really do have to make a distinction and a acknowledgement of the apparent two selves. This paragraph we're reading in the development of trust talks about a transition time where you somehow, some way, maybe it was a lesson you did, or maybe it was because you said, wow, I've studied this book for 3 years. Is it working? You go, yes, I've had sometimes in the meetings, we used to go around the room. Remember, we start the meeting, we go around the room with a question, and sometimes we would just do, is Course in Miracles working for you? Everybody just think about that for a minute. Let's just take a minute to think about this. Is A Course in Miracles working for you? Just take a moment. Take a moment, an honest moment, and look inward and say, huh, what is my life with A Course in Miracles, with me and A Course in Miracles, Is it working? Is it buying any peace? Is it something you trust? Have you become happier for having worked with this book? And if you can't claim happiness, can you claim, are you more peaceful? Do you have more peaceful minutes on the average day because of the work you've done with this book? Is it working? And in case you're having any trouble with my question, would you like to go through life without ever seeing A Course in Miracles again? So you guys are all in love with the book, I know. Anybody want to say anything about your relationship with A Course in Miracles before we go on? Ross?
Sure. Sometimes it's hard when people aren't really giving you feedback. You know, oh, hey, wow, you become more peaceful or something like that. But I was in Staples yesterday getting my passport photo. And the lady was just like, wow, you're just a joy. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. I'm just being me. And the only thing I contributed to is A Course in Miracles. And he said, would you rather not have the book anymore? Well, one teacher said, at first God's chasing you, or you're chasing God, and then God is chasing you. Well, God has been chasing me for a long time. And, the other thing Adi Shanti used to say is, first you're like, you're like looking at the lion's head, kind of sticking your, maybe poking your finger into the head of the spirituality game. Well, let's see, are those teeth sharp? And then after, pretty soon you stick your head in a little bit. And pretty soon the jaws clamp down on your head. There's no going back. You're committed. There's just, it's like every thought and every action I'm vigilant about. I don't always do what I know the Course says I should do, but I know. I know that anger is never justified. I know that I'm never upset for the reason I think. I know when I'm judging. I know all these things. Mm-hmm. I do them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I know better.
But you know. They're not things you would keep. You wouldn't say, I could get better at anger.
That's the other one. That's the other tool is, it's not that you should have no impure thoughts, but you should have no impure thoughts that you would keep.
And I think that's true for you. And that you found that peace is more attractive and more beneficial, more the way you want to live, or joy, or happiness, or love, or kindness, or understanding, or patience. That these are ways that I think, if I can speak.
Well, where'd he go? Luann, you're the host now.
Does anybody else want to say whether they keep? He's going to come back. I wonder what he did.
Oh, that's hilarious. He was just about to say something really profound. Oh, that's funny. we always get tested, don't we? It's like, I guess you get in front of the people that are gonna just, oh, you got this little last corner of, you know, judgment. You got this little last corner of anger to deal with. Okay, let's send you this person and they'll really test you. There he is.
That's not what my problem is. My problem is the more peaceful and happy I get, the more when the ego is trying with really god-awful, horrible ideas come in my head, and I have to say, you know what? You're fired, ego. But, because otherwise I can't get rid of it. It just, I mean, I had a terrible thing today when somebody, I never did see who it was, I think it was a man, had a choker around my dog and was lifting him up in the air, choking and choking and choking. And I just, it was just in my head, not really happening. And I thought, that's my ego trying to make me upset.
Good calling it your ego. Good looking at it as your ego and not me. You know, you don't say me. I was imagining my dog being choked by a fictitious character. My ego was imagining. I think this is a proper use of separation called out by the book.
Thank you.
It's helped. And then you can say, oh, that's my ego. I did that. I did a rash move in my car some time ago. Wow. You know, you gotta add 3 years of COVID to all your memories. So this is quite a while ago now. And I thought, you know, what had even the energy to change lanes so quickly and try to make a, you know, I thought, you know, that is my ego driving. Cause I am not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry anywhere on this planet. When I simply take a moment and come into my awareness rather than my consciousness, ego is the consciousness. If I just take a moment to come into my awareness, there's no hurry. My ego. Your ego, Luann, did that, not you. And it's important that everybody here on this call, this Zoom session, has come in contact with the you with a capital letter. You've come into contact with a consciousness that, it really should be called an awareness. And of course calls it a nice hybrid term, Christ consciousness. Nice bridge term. And it's not your ego. It's not angry. Does not get angry. Doesn't see any use for anger or jealousy or guilt. It's like, well, those are silly imaginings of a frail, separate being. Everybody here is aware of that now. Yeah. And I think, Dawn, you were wiggling fingers first. Okay. Let me get your mute. Go for it.
Okay. So that's something that's been occurring to me, and I think I'm going to be answering my own question here, but I'm going to bring up this idea, is it the ego or my ego? And as I've read lately, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, when I first introduced you to ego, I called it, maybe he called it, but he said, I taught that it was not you, it was something outside of you. He said, but now you're ready to know, I guess, that it's part of you, part of your mind. And then I have the idea that, yes, I have my own idiosyncratic ego. But on the other hand, I also think there's a flow of ego thought that is in and of the world, that my ego that sometimes comes into my, I'm kind of convinced in a way that as I open up to looking at my thoughts and ego stuff, that actually stuff that was harmful or against my best interest, that's part of the ego thought stream, came into my ego. I mean, you know, it's like, in fact, I think there's a part of the Bible that says something about, I'm not going to at all be able to quote it, but it's something like there can, it can happen that there's an opening and then all, you're even worse off than you were before because all these spirits jump in, you know? I'm kind of just grabbing at these different things that are in
front. I haven't seen that in the Bible, but I'm not a Bible scholar.
Well, I'm not a Bible scholar, okay, really. But in any event, so I guess I'm still at that point of saying, is it my ego or the ego?
Right, good. Good question. And you definitely are capable of answering that. You have enough experience now and you're in the right class. Continue to ask that. I'd be happy to answer it if you wanted, but I think maybe you want to answer that. I think you want to answer that. You want to look at that and sort through that. That's a really, really wonderful question to sort through.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jacqueline.
I was just going to say when Luann shared, she had that image of her dog being choked by someone. Gary, in reading Gary and I recently, he started to have really nightmares and really horrendous things. And he, Art and Persa shared with him, that was where, because he was doing forgiveness, those kind of things can come up, images and thoughts, and it's Holy Spirit and starting to heal the deep unconscious guilt or fear. And I found it interesting because when I'm meditating, I'll be meditating, doing just fine, I'll have bizarre images come up. They're very vivid. I cannot envision, you know, Christ, which some people seem to see Christ, you know, I can't do those kind of things. Visions have to come to me, right? And I do have visions. So I can't make them happen or really go into visualizing like some people can. But those are so vivid. They're real, like a face will appear or something. So I started to understand, for me anyway, I thought, okay, so I'm meditating, and this is that unconscious guilt and fear, because they're pretty ugly type of visuals, and I just, you know, give them up to the Holy Spirit, you know.
You so give them up to the Holy Spirit.
Conscious, so it's some of my unconscious fear and guilt or whatever. So that's, because I wondered about it, so what is that? Why do I have that? And that's what he started to experience. So I just
thought, yeah, that's natural. I think everybody will probably, maybe a short time, maybe a long time, is going to experience that passage. And I would describe it as your habitual mind. You have guilt, you have sin, you have fear, thoughts that are baked into your being, ego. When you meditate, you kind of loosen the rules. You kind of open yourself up. And if the habits are strong in your mind, then you will, those patterns will come to the foreground. It's the same thing that happens to people when they are before Course in Miracles or early Course in Miracles or any spiritual. Your sleep, your dreams, ugly dreams. But you'll notice that over time, as you do the workbook, this happens for me and for other people I've talked to, that the because my mind was changing, so also did my dreams change. Because I never really had really ugly dreams, but all my thoughts have changed because my perspective has changed. I have had this miracle of what I am and what life is, and that has taken me so deeply that now it's the filter from through which all thoughts must pass. And so Gary Renard had all sorts of untrained thoughts that now rose up for him to question, and the Holy Spirit works with that. But these are patterns of mind. Your enlightenment and your awakening is not something that is instantaneous cleansing.
So
that he hadn't had nightmares before that. Mm. He was a person who had lots of nightmares, and then once he started doing Course in Miracles and forgiveness and all that, he had a period of time where he just had really bizarre, wild, violent, crazy nightmares. Yeah, and that's what they told him.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yes, Don.
Well, I'm recalling, you know, Carl Jung talked about the collective unconscious. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe that's what I'm referring to when I say that there is this unconscious, collective unconscious that you begin to perhaps kind of begins to come in when you loosen your hold in general on what you are willing to, you're willing to let reality come in, but at the same time, that willingness, maybe the ego.
Let me make a point there. The collective unconscious, when it's been learned from the world, all the things that you've been studying, you know, that you've been seeming to be happening in the world, and the unfairness treatment and the unfairness to animals or to indigenous people or et cetera, there is a collective unconscious that is trained by the world, and it keeps the world going. And so without your lesson 97, you know, without many of your Course in Miracles awakenings, without these, then the default would be what the world has taught you.
The what?
The default. When you relax your mind, it's going to go to what the world, the bigger picture of the world has taught you, that there is evil. That's why people say, oh, I'm worried about the negative spirits. That's only because they believe, and they're very powerful, and you believe your mind is very powerful about negative spirits. But that's because you're allowing shadows and shadow figures to remain. And then, of course, you will fill in the gaps and you will have your negative spirits. But when you see that they're only the only spirit that exists comes from the one source, a knife, this is a koan, a knife, as sharp as it may be, cannot cut itself. There's not a negative part of God. Love does not hate, ever. We, in our effort to pinch ourselves up from God, E-G-O, edging God out. This was successful, this use of mind. Now we can dream all sorts of stuff. It doesn't make it true, but it does make it real. Hate, anger, death, catastrophe, tragedy, etc. But it does not make it true.
Could you say it makes it real with a little r, but that what's true is might be said to be reality with a big R might be said to be what's true?
Yes. Yeah. Hold on a second, Luann. I see that you're talking. Got it. Go ahead.
I like to go back to the whole idea of one mind. Mm-hmm. So if I get an idea of a dog being choked, it's probably because somewhere along the line I know that dogs have been. And that came from some, you know, that's part of the whole. If we're all of one mind, we're all of one mind as far as God's part is concerned that we've given to God, and we're also of one mind as far as what we've given to this world.
Yes.
As far as I can tell.
What you put your attention on is what you will live.
Mm-hmm.
One mind or not. It's a law of mind. As you give, you receive. So if you allow yourself to go into a spiral around choking dogs, you can get very elaborate with it.
Well, I'm just glad I realized I could just say this is the ego working.
You bet. That is your way out.
What'd you say, Luann?
I'm just glad I could say this is just the ego working, and I finally let loose of that picture in my head.
No need to judge it now. No need to condemn yourself. No need to feel guilty. No need to feel burdened. Say, oh, that's my ego thinking about choking dogs. That's my ego having these ugly thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Might you also, might you also say, Holy Spirit, teach me how to see this differently, or yes, how to see it differently.
Yes. You bet, Don. That's a prayer. You might, that's kind of like page 419, the 419 prayer. Everybody turn to page 419 in your text for a second. It's one of our toolbox items.
My only problem with what you're saying, Don, is I don't want to see it differently. I don't want to see it at all. So when I say...
Yeah, but you have to let it go, see?
Well, I have to let it go, but after...
But in order to let it go, you have to grab it and let it go.
That's true.
But because it's already existing. You can't just not see it. That would be denial, and denial requires belief in what you're denying.
Yeah, because it's just, Luann, it's just, it's hiding what's true.
Nice.
So if you just say, that's my ego, get away, or you're fired, that's a, there's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't then allow you to see it through the eyes of love.
As long, yeah, you can say it's not my ego, as long as you picture what's not your ego and say, ah, that's ego behavior. That's ego thinking.
The perception.
Now you can let that go justifiably because you know your ego is not your guide.
Yeah, this is a perception. This is an ego perception.
Very good. Yes, that's a perfect word.
Let me have vision. I mean,
perfect.
You could really... If you really could just call that in, that would be a miracle.
Adon, you're on a roll. Love it. Love it. Well said. Ross.
But I think the quote that Luann's looking for is, resign now as your own teacher, for you have been badly taught.
Yes.
That's how Jesus puts it.
Yes, indeed.
So it's the same thing. Fire yourself as your own teacher.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fire, resign, same thing.
Yep, page 297. Yep. Mm-hmm. So look on page 419 and look at those italics on the bottom. Luann, will you read those italics for us?
Sure. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me now not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but that you use it for me to facilitate its coming.
Yes.
And I'm assuming it is peace. Facilitate peace is coming.
Yes. And so you're handing it over. You're literally saying, I'm going to go for the miracle and forgiveness route. Instead of hanging on to this horrible thought that just keeps making me feel miserable. That would be saying this horrible thought indeed is a problem that I am going to apply now a higher thinking, a Holy Spirit thinking, an inclusive thinking. Holy Spirit, take this from me and look at it and then tell me how this actually brings peace instead of chases peace away. This is a prayer, but it's really you volunteering to forgive, to let go of the thoughts that you're so stuck on. Not a denial, a release.
Yeah, looking at that first sentence, it emphasizes, take this from me. And you judge it, Holy Spirit, not me.
Yep.
I don't want to judge it. You know,
good.
Judge it for me.
Good.
And thereby letting me see through your eyes it as not a sign of death and sin, nor use it for destruction.
Yes.
and then teach me how not to make of it an obstacle, but give it to you to use for me.
Yes.
And I have something written underneath here that I think speaks to this about as it's good guidance for practicing it. I have, this isn't saying take this away from me and into my right mind. It's rather all about looking at our choice for the ego without judging it.
Yep. Heal my thinking around this.
Yes, heal my thinking around this.
And look at that first sentence. You know, take this from me, look upon it. You know, you judging it for me. Somebody tell me, give me an idea of how the Holy Spirit judges things that are in the ego mind. Anybody want to volunteer? Kenny, you want to jump in and tell us? I picked the most unsuspecting. Kenny, you want to tell us what the Holy Spirit thinks about your thinking, about your problems?
Well, they're full of shit.
Exactly. Thank you. You're full of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
This is exactly what the Holy Spirit. So you can count on Kenny. He doesn't say much, but when he does, listen. Thank you, Kenny. That's exactly right. The Holy Spirit says, you know, you're actually full of shit, and you think it's worthwhile, and you think it's harmful, and you think it's, you're not, you're worrying about nothing. But I know you think it's something, so I'll treat it like something enough to help you let it go. That's how the Holy Spirit looks at everything. That's exactly right. It's what a relief. What a relief that you really don't have to fix anything here. Nothing here do you have to fix. You just have to see it correctly and let it go. Yes, Luann.
If I looked at what I said deeply, like as a psychologist would, I could say, well, maybe I'm feeling guilty because I'm not treating my pup as nicely as it needs, as I need to or would or want.
Sure, that's reasonable.
That, but then that makes me feel guilty when I say that.
Guilty.
I don't want to feel guilty, so I just say, I'm just not going to. I'm not going to talk about it at all. It's gone. I'm going to tell my ego to quit.
Fire your ego.
I'm firing my ego.
You say this
I
is not.
I really want to look at it deeply.
You could say this line of thinking, you're not denying it, is unjustified. It's ridiculous. I'm chasing my own tail. Look at page 445. Another one of our toolbox items for when the beep hits the fan. And you really need to reset your mind. Look at that first paragraph on 445. Jacqueline, I'm going to get your mute. When you get there, would you read that for us?
Reason and Perception, Introduction. Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it, nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it is important.
This is so kind, the Holy Spirit, to say, oh, you made it up, but you think it's important. All right, I'll go along with you for a minute. Go ahead.
It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause, and that is why order of difficulty in miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Nothing perceived without it means anything, and where there is no meaning, there is chaos.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Can I ask for that reference?
Yes, it's page 445, paragraph 1 of the introduction. Text 445.
Thank you.
Yep. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Everything. That situation with the dog choking, the situation with you hating your neighbor and secretly hoping that they would die, the situation with the politician that you think has gone too far, whatever it is, as ugly as it gets, there is a miracle there. There is a miracle. And this is for you to sit with the Holy Spirit and say, show me this differently. Oh, I got one for you, Holy Spirit. Handle this. You should. Everything. And a huge relief will happen. And then that's how you can take the worst ones, of course, with your own mother or whatever. And that will help you generalize quickly so you don't have to go through every single instance. Just take the ones that you're deeply have faith in. The negative thoughts and feelings you have faith in, those are the ones take to the Holy Spirit first, because the uglier they are, and the sooner you heal them with a shift in perception by the Holy Spirit, the sooner that you will be relieved, you'll sleep better, your Gary Renard's dreams will go away, the bad ones, and you're able to let your mind generalize it to all the other lesser, meaningful and the meaningless thoughts. The healing does speed up. Yes, Jacqueline.
Well, this week I just had from all the reading and different things and the meditation, I just had a sense of that it was actually possible. It sounds funny, but I just had a vision of everything that my perception has projected. The cause is deep within me, that I can actually bring it all back. I can call it all back to cause, Holy Spirit, Christ, God. I don't know how to explain it. And bring it back to, instead of, it's not in the world anymore. It comes back to, they say, don't try to do it in the world, but do it with Christ or Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just this vision, because all my lifetimes and everything.
Yep.
And perception has been projected out. I just have this sense of pulling it back into cause and bringing it there for healing. It was really a beautiful kind of vision. And because sometimes it just feels so overwhelming, every little thing, which yes. I still need to work on or I still need to be aware of. Mm-hmm. But I had a sense that this would bring that more of that generalization to
yes,
me.
Yes.
That was just something I could
see. That's good track, good trace, you bet. Your mind now has access to all the burdens that it ever had. Your healed mind now has access to all the burdens it ever seemed to have. Yes, indeed, Jacqueline. The darkness goes away in the presence of light. Take the darkness to the light. Yes, Don.
Hi. Okay. I can relate. Louanna sometimes refers to, as you did a while ago, Louanna, mm-hmm. to if you looked at it from as a psychologist. And I'm going to combine. I was going to say this, and then something else came in with it. I try to like. I'm suspicious of looking with my psychological perceptions. And yet Jesus says that my other self has been always present and acting. And I could have just said, I don't need to learn all this psychological stuff, how the world looks at things. I could just notice the communication that's coming through me that's love, and that my psychological interpretations and analysis are kind of just interfering with at least my own sense of joy, experience of joy. And but the Holy Spirit is there, my weather self or whatever you want to call it, God, Jesus is there. So sometimes our clients, if you will, they experience, in spite of ourselves, they experience the joy. Because that is hopefully that remains our intention, is to love, even if our ideas psychological ideas are somewhat clouding and interfering with that communication.
And the way out is to have a shift in what's having those thoughts, as Luann was saying. Say, oh, that whole line, the last 15 minutes of arguing with myself is my ego pattern, and I'm not going to heal the ego. I am going to forgive the ego, which means let it go. Now that I know the ego's actually nothing, that the ego is actually, as Kenny's Holy Spirit says, full of shit. That's how his ego talks to him. I mean, his Holy Spirit talks to him.
Okay, I want to say this other thing. Okay, so when I first, this is like a joke on me. So I was in a class in graduate school on counseling, you know, therapy, and we were reading Virginia Satir, and I'm sure Luann knows of Virginia Satir, maybe others do too, quite a therapist. Anyway, and so we're reading that book, and I got a job as an intern in a counseling center, and I still didn't, I maintain that I was in the right place at the right time. Like, that's where I was supposed to be, but I didn't trust myself. So before I'm going to see this couple for counseling, I'm reading the book. You know, I'm looking at the book, and I'm trying to memorize what I'm supposed to say and how I'm supposed to interview them. Mm-hmm. And all I had to do was just relax and let the truth that's could be all is available but not present to my consciousness come through, my awareness come through.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it does. It gives me faith that as in spite of the messed up kinds of things I did and thought, that I was intending to love.
Yes. Yes. And then intending to love is hard if you have to memorize what to say and what to do.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to perform that way. Yeah. Much better to be present. And now, but that takes trust to be able to be, just say, I'm going to be loving. And here it comes. I don't even know what it looks like. That's huge. I had a little awakening around this concept that came from Isaac Perlman, the violinist. Mm-hmm. And he said that amateurs practice to get it right. Professionals practice so they can't get it wrong. They only know how to do it right. You practice and practice and practice and practice so you can't get it wrong. You can do it right most times until you practice a whole lot. Then he knows he won't get it. He won't miss. Then he can stand up with a $3 million violin in front of people paying $1,000 a seat and give them a good show. I think I looked at that and said, well, that's why I keep studying A Course in Miracles and I keep doing the lessons, even though you'd think, hey, been through them so many times. No, my ego is still hanging in there waiting. And so I carry my lessons with me and I catch it so that I'll continue to practice so that I can't get it wrong. And I will exercise myself from this habit of ego, because I do like what I've done, you know, as a spirit. I do like this whole individuation and universe, and I think it's a wonderful contribution to everything that is. It's just the separation part that stinks, and I want to take the stink out. And that's the ego. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're all doing. But that's what I see now. So, yes, Kenny.
So I don't say projection makes perception, but when I read the words and I listen to the lessons, it's changing me. Mm. So that's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
It, so I don't have to use a lot of the words. I don't use a lot of the words, but it's, I use them and change me.
Yes. And the change that's happening is not complex. It's a letting go of this complex, chaotic thinking. And allowing yourself to get simple. It's page 338, paragraph 6. Look at page 338 in the text. You'll recognize this is Andrew's top 10. We're going through here. Didn't mean to, but we should see this practically every Course in Miracles meeting, because it's just a Course in Miracles in one sentence. One paragraph. Kenny, this is why you don't need a lot of fancy words, because this paragraph is true. Paragraph 6 is true. Dom, you read that for us when you get there. I'm going to unmute you. Are you there?
Yes, yes. Yeah,
page 338, paragraph 6. Would you read that beautiful paragraph for us? And this is what Kenny is awakening to. He's like, whoa, this stuff is real. I don't need all the analysis. Go for it, Don.
Your task, Kenny, is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes. And the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
And so you're just going to let the love surface by not hating, by not worrying, by not attacking, by not looking for guilt in yourself or someone else. And you find yourself saying, you know what, I can work with this. I'm okay. Simple.
So when you meet somebody, you kind of know you're going to meet an ego coming back.
Yeah.
But you don't have to start with that thought, because it may not happen. You might just enjoy meeting somebody at the bank or Starbucks, somebody here or there, you know, watch a lady in an electric wheelchair and say, oh, wow. And just see them.
And just,
sometimes you meet an ego and you go, well, I'm going to hold on to this story for a little while, but she's got to deal with what she thinks.
Yeah.
I got to take care of me. And so, well, okay. Let it go. Yeah, let it go.
Let it go and be patient right in the moment. Let their ego is acting up and it got your ego stirred up, and then you drop your ego first. And just be tolerant and see if your gentleness and your generosity of letting her go off and say whatever she says or do what she does doesn't make her disarm herself. And she might set her ego down too. Maybe. Maybe not. But, yep, that takes trust. Takes trust to do that. It is a better way to live, to navigate this world, to disarm yourself, especially when you recognize you're pulling out a bigger sword. Hey, you think that's a knife? This is a knife. No, no. Relax. Try that. Okay. Everybody turn to page 10 in your manual for teachers. The bottom of the page begins paragraph 6, telling us about our now fourth stage of the development of trust. Jesus is calling it out as it happens and unfolds, the things you go through Yes, your mind is going from wrong thinking to right thinking, some of the stumbling blocks along the way. Ross, I think you're up to bat if you're good. I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 6?
6 on page 10.
Yes, sir.
Now comes a period of settling down. This is a quiet time in which the teacher of God rests a while in reasonable peace. Now he consolidates his learning. Now he begins to see the transfer value of what he has learned. Its potential is literally staggering, and the teacher of God is now at the point in his progress at which he sees in it his whole way out. Give up what you do not want and keep what you do. How simple is the obvious? And how easy to do? The teacher of God needs this period of respite. He has not yet come as far as he thinks. Yet when he is ready to go on, he goes with mighty companions beside him. Now he rests a while and gathers them before going on. He will not go on from here alone.
Cool.
That is.
Cool.
Yep.
He says in paragraph, in that same paragraph, but sentence 5, its potential, you know, of your work, your Course in Miracles work, the potential is staggering. You ever thought, I think everybody here has, you thought, wait a minute, this could actually work. I know you have, right, Ross and Jack, and everybody here has to some extent have said, wait a minute, this might actually be a solution. I've looked, I've read, I've traveled. Now I've got this Course in Miracles, and wait a minute, this might work. Go ahead, Ross.
So I'm thinking this is like kind of like the stages of grief, and that you can go through stage 1, 2, 3, whoop, back to 1. 3, 4, whoop, back to 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, back to 2. Because, yeah, I kind of recognize this kind of process here, but it seems like it's like grief. You know
yeah,
everyone knows the stages of grief, right? Anger, denial, blah, 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 blah. And you go back and forth between them, and then you think you're done with one, and then all of a sudden it crops up again, and you're like, wait a minute, I thought I was done with anger. Wait, I thought I was done with sadness. Oh, no, here it comes again. But it gets, with grief, it gets lighter and lighter. With this, I'm pretty sure it seems like to me it gets deeper and deeper. You get deeper and deeper into trust.
You do. You start to surrender the ego's ways. You let you trust them less, and you trust the Holy Spirit more. But you bet you don't drop a habit the first time you look at the book. In fact, the Course says that it's not impossible. It says it's extremely rare that somebody would just let go of their ego instantly. Yes, Jacqueline. Or somebody had their hand up. Oh, Luann. Go ahead.
After reading paragraph 5, I went to 6 on my own, and it felt like such a gift to have to know that at this point I can sit back and say, what have I accomplished so far that I know is true?
Mm-hmm.
That is how I'm looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be others with me to keep me going.
You bet. You can't actually go alone. That's another beautiful gift of A Course in Miracles, is it solves aloneness. You try to accomplish aloneness in order to accomplish a separation. But then when you start to rejoin with Spirit, you realize that there is God. There is everything. You are not God. You are 100% of God. You're 100% God, but you are not God. You can't even make your fingernails grow. But on the other hand, you know you are fully 100% of everything. You are because God is. God is because you are. You see the circle? You complete the thought of God, right back to God. This is part of your awakening, is to recognize how important you are to the actuality of God, the being of God. It's a beautiful circle. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful circle, beautiful awakening. And you cannot be alone. Now you know it's impossible to be alone.
It's kind of like every Thursday night I love coming because all of you are here.
Good. Good.
And what I've noticed is now I'm finding, as I talk to people around me, and I'm in a retirement home, so got a lot of old people around me. By the way, being old is really nice.
Good. I know, having COVID was nice for me. I thought, is this what it's like to be really old? I could just sit for hours and hours and do nothing.
But anyway, as I talk to people, I can see how they are helping me, or that they are there for me also, in a sense. Just like you guys are.
Yes. Good, good. You bet.
I'm seeing that more and more in people. People start off with a stiff face, and all I have to do is say hi and hello. And within a few minutes, they're talking and ask me about my dog. And I'm thinking, see, you just wanted somebody to be with you, and I'm with you. And they're with me.
Nice. Yeah. A chance to take a minute, not be so rushed, and be alive and sharing. I hope that's what old age is going to be like for me, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jacqueline.
Well, I know this thing about being important to God also. I was thinking, there must be another word than important, right? Because important is kind of feels like, oh, ego, I'm important. So I was trying to think of a more, I don't know, vital, something else. You know, what are we? Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying?
Precious.
Yeah, something.
On page 106, it says you are a precious part of God's kingdom. Priceless. Priceless.
Okay.
Inestimable, you know, priceless part of God's kingdom.
I even think that we are necessary to have for God's kingdom.
What?
Necessary.
Necessary. Yeah, necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Not a mistake. Integral.
Integral is another word I was thinking. Yeah.
Extension. You are an extension of God. You're 100% God, but you're not God. But you're 100% God. Right?
Feels like an extension that goes right back to God.
Yeah.
What came to mind, I don't think it's a perfect analogy, but when you were saying, Jacqueline, important, and the ego jumps in and says, well, it's all about me. But what came to my mind was the idea of a puzzle and a puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know, it's like, I mean, it has a little, it's a little limited analogy because it also implies it's a separate piece. But on the other hand, it just has that feeling like in order for that puzzle for wholeness to be there, the little distinct ray of God that you are needs to be expressed.
I like your puzzle analogy because when the puzzle was initiated, when it was created, that piece was included.
Yeah.
As equally with all the other pieces.
Yes.
And if you assemble the puzzle without that piece, more and more and more does that piece become obviously missing.
Yeah.
Now it's the most important piece there is. The rest of the pieces are handled. But I'm not done with this puzzle until I find that piece. I'm going to spend all my effort staying up late, crawling around, looking under the chairs, looking in my pockets. Where's that lost sheep, that lost piece? I like that analogy, Don.
And also, in a way, so like essential to God's plan for salvation, it's like there are pieces adjacent to you.
Yep.
And when I recognize my wholeness or recognize wholeness, and I communicate that to the pieces around me, then they awaken. They have the seed, at least, of awakening to their essentialness in expressing the qualities with which they're endowed by God.
Yeah, see, you're with your mind, by seeing their wholeness, your mind is actually joining with the truth in their mind, even if they don't see it.
Yes.
That's covered on page 142, paragraph 4.
Okay, and it's a little bit of a spark.
Yes.
In their own mind.
And you know, a spark in your mind about their mind, which shows you something about your mind.
Right.
It's a circle. Yeah.
142 in the text.
In the text. 142, paragraph 4. Luann, would you read that for us when you get there?
Sure. Hold on. I'm a little slow today.
Well, I'm doing this thing, Andrew, now where I'm taking the references you give us, and I'm finding them in the online ACIM thing.
Sure.
So then I can copy them and send them to myself. Nice. So I have kind of like a, you know, it's a lot easier than taking notes.
Well, you bet, because the things that I extemporaneously pull off the top of my head,
yeah,
these are things that I go back to again and again because they speak the essence of A Course in Miracles.
Yes, yes. And you're being inspired. So you're helping, you're bringing it all together.
Good, good.
And so this is a guy. I hope I'm
making the book simpler and smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, showing you how consistent it is and how these key messages are spread throughout.
And it's all connected, yeah.
Yeah.
Page 142.
142, paragraph 4. Look at the circle that's painted here by your willingness to see the light in somebody else's mind or see their legitimacy or see how they also are a puzzle piece equal to your puzzle piece.
The holy encounter. That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, God.
Go ahead, Luann.
When you meet anyone, remember, it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, or in him, you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you. That last sentence is really important.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. That's that circle we keep talking about. Okay. Back to page 10 in the manual for teachers. Let's scoop up a few scraps out of 6 before we go on to 7. It's a beautiful sentence there. Its potential is literally staggering, and the teacher of God is now at the point in his progress at which he sees his whole way out. Congratulations. When you have that thought that says, I'm not stuck. I will never be stuck. Have you had that thought? Your whole way out is now available. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you haven't chosen to walk the path, but it's like you've been in the jungle looking for the beach, and finally you get a glimpse of the daylight and you see a little bit of water. And all I do is follow this path. My whole way out is now set. I know I have some logs to cross and maybe, but I got a glimpse and I am certain now of my direction.
Where are you, Andrew, where are you?
Now on page 11 at the top of the page, the very top of the page, and yeah. Sentence 5. It's the transfer value of everything that you've learned, the idea that your mind is powerful, and that you do have the ability to choose peace. You do have the ability to step back and let the Holy Spirit lead. You have that ability. You don't have to follow the ego. You don't have to stay afraid or guilty. You know it.
Or in my case, judging.
You don't have to judge and try to make sense of something by judging it. Because, as Kenny's Holy Spirit would advise, you're judging really nothing valuable. Your peace is way more important at this juncture as you're awakening. So, in any other way you want to say it, it's staggering the potential of what you've learned. Lifetimes of struggle can be relieved and forgiven. Because you see, your whole way out, sentence 6, summary of A Course in Miracles. Give up what you do not want and keep what you do. This is up to you. Wow. Is it that simple?
It does seem like I know what I need to do. It's just a matter of doing it from now on.
You also know what it feels like when you're doing it right.
Yes, absolutely.
So you are capable of following that feeling, and you're capable of denying the ugly ones. It used to be you dealt with the ugly ones and you maybe raised your voice or got angry or pursued them until all of the anger was exercised out, maybe even onto somebody else that you had pronounced your love for. Did that happen? That ugly moment ever happen? I hope not. I hope not. But that's the ego driving if it did.
Say that again, Andrew.
Where you get an anger thought, and before your Course in Miracles, you would try to wield the anger with a raised voice in an effort to satisfy it. But you did damage in every direction. But you felt a little better because at least you thought you were being honest. But you were actually just being following the darkness, letting the anger double and triple, and you did all sorts of chaotic damage. Hopefully you see that that's not your way out. That's your way back into more of the dream and darkness.
Yeah, Andrew?
Yep.
I want to say that what I noticed today, there was a point at which I interacted with Michelle, and ostensibly I didn't have a judgment. What I noticed is that she responded to what I said as if she had to defend herself.
Very good. Good observation.
And then what I wanted to proclaim is I wasn't judging you. But then what I noticed was that my words didn't maybe from an observer's point of view sound like judging, but in my mind, I was coming from judgment. Yeah. And she felt it.
She felt it. Very good.
Or she knew it. Or I don't think she thought it. She could just feel it.
Yeah.
And that's that is a habit that we have.
Yeah.
And I have blamed her. I keep saying, Michelle, you don't have to always justify yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to justify yourself. I'm not judging you. Or she might even do it, but she does it also with the world.
Yeah.
So it's her habit. It's her habit.
Yes, her habits too.
But it's my habit to judge.
Yes.
And so
your judgment comes across in the way your eyes form and you hold your lips and all these physical things.
And even in the mind, if I'm not in the holy mind, then I'm going to join her in the unholy
It gets transmitted.
It's transmitted. And so the value of this is it's what I've always wanted is for healing and for really be a healer.
Yeah.
And what has to happen is I have to shift. I have to really shift. I mean, I'm in the process of purification.
Yes.
You know, I'm not purified.
You're in the process.
But I'm in the process. And you said, what has the course done for me? Well, it's done what I'm just talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
It's awakening me mm-hmm. to the awareness yes. of what's going on and my responsibility for what's going on. And I can take it because I have hope, faith. I don't know. I was just with some teacher who said, this isn't a course about faith, but I don't know about that. All I can say is I have confidence that God is with me, that God's in this, and I'm of God, not my little ego, but that I'm moving towards a shift. I'm moving.
The faith is only something you borrow from Jesus and the book, so you try it, and then you don't need faith anymore. Because
once it happens.
It happens, and then you know you can choose peace, and you like it better.
Yeah.
And attacking Michelle and even judging or letting your habits of judging Michelle or the situation is inconvenient or whatever, you start to say, I'm not going to hold on to those habits.
Right, and it's judging everything. I mean, it's judging everything. You know, I definitely took on a self-protective identity, and I went about fortifying that.
I like the way you said that, self-protective identity. 99.9% of all your problems come from doing something for yourself, and there is none.
Good grief.
Not in form. You don't have a self in form. The one that you apparently are controlling is to be completely forgiven. And then you can come back with light if you wish. And you can make something of the form if you wish. If you want to play with the form as a free being, you can.
Well, that brings me back to what I said a little while ago, joining in a sense with Luann, and how one would want to go back to your one psychological understanding. And that's, for me, I believe, was just a misplacement of where I needed to come from to be a healer.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's will be a time when I'm purified enough that I can operate through the psychological mechanisms or forum in the world,
yeah.
But truly teach love through it. You know,
you might, Don. You might, if that's what you choose to do with your mind when it becomes free. You might also just forgive the whole freaking thing and go on to the next level of love.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting I want to.
I understand, but you might want to.
Maybe, but I just want to be, I want to just be loved. That's all.
You really do want to be loved, and you want to love.
Yeah.
You want to be natural.
Yeah.
Naturally loving, absolutely.
Yeah.
And for me, when I'm feeling loving, then I know I'm doing something the way the book wants me to do. And when I'm not feeling loving, I know I better watch out and find out what's going on.
And it's a high contrast difference. It's obvious when you're feeling loving. It's obvious when you're not feeling loving. Mm-hmm. Take that to your Holy Spirit. Reverse the thoughts that made you act or behave or think unloving. And let that be your new truth. And then if you can, heal it in the world too. It'll feel even better. Okay, let's try paragraph 7. Jacqueline, when you get there, I got your mute. Would you read that for us? Now we're on page 11.
The next stage is indeed a period of unsettling. Now must the teacher God understand that he did not really know what was valuable and what was valueless. All that he really learned so far was that he did not want the valueless, and that he did want the valuable. Yet his own sorting out was meaningless in teaching him the difference. The idea of sacrifice, so central to his own thought system, had made it impossible for him to judge. He thought he learned willingness, but now he sees that he does not know what the willingness is for, and now he must attain a state that may remain impossible to reach for a long, long time. He must learn to lay all judgment aside and ask only what he really wants in every circumstance. Were not each step in this direction so heavily reinforced, it would be hard indeed.
Did you hear what she just read? And now he must attain a state that may be impossible, remain impossible for a long, long time. Really? What's so hard, Jesus? What is it? What is it that would be hard that I would stumble on? Well, I'll tell you. He says, this teacher of God must learn to lay all judgment aside and ask only what he really wants in every circumstance. Remember, we covered what you really want is peace and love. You want to be loving. You want to show up and be the light of the world instead of more darkness. That's what you really want. Don just said it. He says, I really want to, live love. He really means it. He knows it's in him. It just gets blocked here and there, like a nasty habit. But he's walking. He's walking out. That's what it looks like to walk out. You keep your eyes on the horizon and the light, and pretty soon you're in the light. That's it, Don. You're on your way. Keep your eye on the horizon of light, lightness of being. Do not feed the darkness.
You know what just occurred to me is it often occurs that when I have been steeped in what we're talking about and having these little glimpses of possibility, at least, if not experience, of light, that I will re-enter the stage, if you will, the theater stage of my home with Michelle, and she will provoke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that she is reflecting a part of my mind, the ego mind, that is subtly, unconsciously reacting to the light. You know, we talk about fear of love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so she's giving me an opportunity to see what's in my mind when she acts in a provocative way, kind of what I perceive as attacking.
Yeah, careful not to overthink it.
Okay.
Something happens when you become peaceful in an unpeaceful situation. It at first appears to the other person that you don't care, that you've checked out. So they might try to provoke you a little more. But that's just their ego saying, hey, keep punching because I'm not done punching you. But if you stay present and stay with the peace and say, and make your apologies, just because you say I'm sorry doesn't mean you're buying into guilt. It means you really are sorry. And that let's correct this. Let's bring some light here. Let's go back to a holy relationship. I got unholy there for a few minutes. Not how I want to be. And you might even be generous at that point. Another one of our terms, generosity, that we'll be studying in a few weeks. You might even choose to pull out the generosity card because you temporarily have more while they, in the effort to have a holy relationship, temporarily have less. So you may decide to pull out the generosity card in a moment when you wake up and go, oh my God, we're arguing over nothing. I'm going to drop the energy because I realize my Holy Spirit just dawned on me that this is nothing. It's going to pass in a week. Neither one of us will know this detail. So I'm going to heal now. And they may look at that and say, wow, you just checked out. You don't care at all. Happens. But you stay present, look them right in the eye and stay engaged. But don't carry the fear or the anger anymore. They'll see your genuine dismissal of it and that you're still present, that you do care, and that you want to let them get all their words out, but you're no longer fighting them on their words. See, because they're not upset for the reason they think, and that the words that they're saying would just be more confusing if you answered every single question. See? You can
Andrew.
Yes, Kenny.
You recorded a lesson back in April, and Don and I were involved in that. And it came out that we were honored guests in the conversation. So if we're an honored guest.
Nice.
Why battle? You got the ticket. You're in front row. Yeah. You know,
Mm-hmm. That's nice, Kenny.
Yeah.
Recontextualization. Yeah. Yeah. That's like course says that the only, there's only fear or love. There's only fear or a call for love. And the only answer for a call for love, the only answer for a call for love is love. The honored guest. It's you're honorable and honored because you're actually going to bring the love. It's what you want. It's actually what they want. And you have the power to do it. You have the power to be calm. You have the power to be, what does it look like to bring the love? Let me just tell you, because we're running short on time. What does it mean to bring love in a difficult conversation? I'll tell you right now. You raise the trust in the situation. You raise the honesty in the conversation. You bring up the honesty higher. Yes. You bring up the tolerance of differences and say, I can deal with that. Okay. I see how you saw that. You step forward first with tolerance of differences. You lower your voice and become gentle first. They will follow because they start to hear themselves speaking more loudly than you. They're going to match your temper. But you do it first. That's what it means. What's more? You start to have trust in the big picture and allow a little bit of joyfulness to return that you're even talking to each other. You drop your defenses. Stop defending yourself. They say something that pushes your buttons, leave it. If it's completely wrong, correct it once and then leave it. Don't defend yourself, right? That's how you bring the joy back into a joyless place. That's how you do it. You become generous, giving them more time to speak than you're taking. Wow, really? Are you going to do that? Are you going to give up your stage time so that they can get it all? Yes. Because you're undefended, see? You don't need as much time. You're really showing up saying, I want to heal. I want to heal now. I want to heal us. I want to heal a situation. Let's continue. But you're coming so peaceful, it's easier. They get to say everything they want to say. And if you do it right, and you really ask them, wait, I just heard you say this. Did you mean this? They'll say, no, I meant this. Weren't you listening? You say, well, okay, here's what I think I heard you say. They'll say, yeah, now you got it right. If you do that enough times, they might even say, well, what do you think? And now you know they're putting their weapons down. But don't rush them. This is how you bring light into a dark, difficult conversation. Have some faith. That's really what behind them is not an attack on you. You'll need faith for that because there's a lot of ugly words come out. And the way they look at you and the energy looks very ugly. have some faith that it's really about them. It's really about them calling for love. Do that instead. You do it first. They'll follow, but you do it first.
And particularly if you do it first a number of times, and they're going to realize that their anger isn't going to get anywhere with you.
Yeah, their anger becomes embarrassing because it's not triggering you. And they'll start to want to cooperate like you're cooperating. You do it first. That's how you do it. And you know, and then because they're human, they want to be loved and happy, and they will follow.
I don't get angry very easily, hardly ever.
It's good.
But what I do get is if I'm doing something that I notice is making somebody else angry, I feel guilty because I'm not doing what Andrew was saying to do.
You're right. Yeah.
I'm defending myself instead of, and then I get guilty for, you know, because I know that's not going to work.
Yeah, so you've condemned yourself. So a good practice is then to relive that moment in your mind and say, what could I have done? Holy Spirit, show me how I could have been more defenseless or honest or trusting in this situation. You don't have to go back and call the person and change it. They're going to forget within a few days anyway. Didn't mean as much to them as you thought, but it meant something to you. So you fix it. And then maybe that fixes it with them as well next time you talk.
Particularly since our minds are as one.
Yep.
They'll know on some level that you have fixed it for yourself.
You bet. And for relationships you have that are long-term, genuinely long-term relationships, it will come out. Your devotion to the relationship in this way will come out. Your patience, your kindness, your tolerance, your desire to hear before being heard, that's huge. People feel loved when you do that. They're like, well, I know you're upset, but I'm upset too. And here's what I want to say. Go ahead, tell me. Please tell me what's got you so upset. So look at sentence 5. The idea of sacrifice, so central to his own thought system, had made it impossible for him. It made it impossible for him to judge. He thought he learned willingness, but now he sees that he does not know what the willingness is for. You're just letting go of the ego, letting go of the ego. And now he must attain a state that may be impossible to reach for a long, long time. What is it? He must learn to lay all judgment aside and ask only what he really wants in every circumstance. And you really want peace, and you want the ground of peace to be set so that you can be joyful, you can be loving, you can communicate honestly. But that happens in peace. It doesn't happen with raised voices and anger and the ego driving. Yeah. Good. But it's unsettling because you catch yourself, just as you were describing, Luann, that you feel guilty because you didn't do it right. But you know what it is you want to do right. You bring the light. You be the light of the world. Okay, everybody. That's taken us right up to 9 o'clock. We got 2 paragraphs done, though, so that's some kind of achievement. We get a star.
Thank you, Andrew. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.